Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer, in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See you, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
This is state of emergency.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran, giving you that Friday energy on a Monday. We are recording this on Sunday. It's Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, to all the women out there in general, because I'm sure even if you're not a mom, you're acting like one. So happy Mother's Day to all.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Whatever. Fran, how are you doing?
Good.
On Sunday.
I'm good. I would like to say that, you know, on Thursday's show, we talked about getting drunk in honor of the Bachelorette weekend that we were supposed to be on. Friday, I will say I probably got like sneaky the most drunk I've been during quarantine, for really no reason, but who needs a reason at this point? And I went to bed and I use like these, they're Isle of Paradise. I'm sure people have seen them. Tanning drops. And I don't use them that often, but like when I start to feel like, oh, I need a little help, I'll put them in my moisturizer. And in whatever state I was in, I decided that I needed to put these drops on my face on Friday night before going to bed. Woke up Saturday, like, went to brush my teeth, scared myself in the mirror because I was orange. It was just not good. I missed part of my face. Like, you know how when you put moisturizer on and you just do like your nose and you sweep it out to your cheeks?
I don't do it that way, but yes.
What? How do you put on moisturizer?
I just go dab on one cheek, dab on the other cheek, and then I like blend it
everywhere. Out. Wow. See, maybe I should do it that, because then I wouldn't have had this problem. I said did like from nose out to my cheeks, down to my chin, and then my forehead. So I missed like the top of my nose. And it kind of looks like I got it kind of looks like I got a sunglass tan. But other than that, it's been a very nice weekend. I said before, it's my mom's birthday on Friday.
Happy birthday, Laura!
I know. It's sad because I have not seen my parents in quite some time. But she said she
since
had a lovely birthday. I know. I have not seen them since then. So she had a lovely birthday. I sent beautiful flowers for Mother's Day, not to toot my own horn. You know they're good when my dad hit me with the side text, like, nice flowers. I was like, thanks, Dad.
Ooh, love that. And I feel like your dad, good. He definitely, you know, he appreciates a nice flower when he sees one, for sure.
You are absolutely correct. He loves getting a good arrangement.
Any kind of flower, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Fred, I have to
How are you,
something.
Rhea? Yeah.
I had the craziest dream about us last night. So crazy that I had to postpone the time of the podcast recording and take a shower to refresh my brain. So this is what happened. We were supposed to, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, we are interviewing the lady gang this week, Becca, Kelsey, Jack.
Yes.
Very excited.
Yes. Yes.
In my dream, we were supposed to interview them.
Okay.
But we all lived in a hotel for like people who do the same type of job as us. So there was a lot of podcasters, a lot of influencers, like,
okay.
You know, the Bachelor people, our friends, Dylan, okay. Hannah, Tyler, everyone okay. in this hotel.
Wow, star-studded cast for the dream.
Yes.
Okay.
Like Alyssa Violet, Wolfie Cindy, yeah. all these people okay. were in this hotel. It was packed. And they wanted us to quarantine in there because they thought, you know, great content. Anyways, you decide you're going to go get blackout wasted with your friends before this interview, and you leave me in the dust. You don't invite me.
Wow.
And you go, and me and Noah are like, what the fuck? Where's Fran? Like, this is so fucked up. And you come back, and you know how dreams are so weird? The room looked like my sister's old room. It was bizarre. Yeah. And you come back, and you are shit-faced. And I'm like, Fran, we need to go. We need to go interview the lady gang. Like we need to interview them. And you're like, no, I'm done with this. I'm done with this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Get out of my face, friend. And then you were like, push me a little bit. You were like, I'm done with this. And we full on fist fighted, like beating the shit out of each other. And Noah was in the back filming it. And he's like, he's freaking out, and we're going pound for pound. Like, honestly, you had some good moves. I had some good moves. It wasn't
what,
like,
were you and Hank watching UFC last night? Like, what?
I was watching Dead to Me last night.
Okay.
Pretty violent. So okay. Not violent. There's just a lot, you know, whatever. I don't want to spoil it. So we're like beating the shit out of each other, and then we get over it. We're like, okay, that felt good. Let's go interview the lady gang. And for some reason, you couldn't speak. You just couldn't do anything. You were a slob kebab.
And it was useless.
Carrying you to the phone because we didn't want to bring you up to see the lady gang, see you like this. So we're like, let's just do it over the phone. But then the phone, it wouldn't work. It was a whole big thing. It was taking us 2 hours. And they were like, why are we doing this? We're in the same hotel. So then we go to the hotel. And this is more just funny than anything. Becca, Kelty, and Jack all had George Washington hair that was dyed orange. It was so bizarre. And then I bumped into Wolfie Cindy Kimberly on Instagram, and she became my new co-host.
Wow.
Yep.
I got replaced by Wolfie Cindy.
You got replaced by Wolfie Cindy in my dream after we beat the shit out of each other. And you were a slob kebab. You wanted to go out and drink, which I didn't blame you. You know, we're in a hotel with a lot of fun people. But it was wild.
Damn. Ruthless.
Yeah, it was.
I apologize for my dream self. My dream self's actions.
No, you know what? Maybe your drunk self creeped into my dream because you were really drunk. So then you creeped into my dream.
Yeah. I had a dream this weekend that I feel like this podcast has really just become us talking about our dreams, but that's just where we are. Did you guys see that Tom Cruise is supposed to be like going to film a movie in space?
Yes.
Like actually in space. So I had a dream that we went to space.
Oh,
but it was awesome. Like, but yeah, it was awesome, but then it wasn't awesome. Like it wasn't like this cool revolutionary thing that we were going to space. It was like everybody goes to space. It's just like what everybody did. And we were on the space station. It was very like Xenon-esque, you know, like people like lived up there. There's a giant movie theater. And we were in the giant, I know we were in the giant movie theater, and I don't know if we were in a movie or if people were watching something. It had to do with us, and everybody fucking hated it.
Damn. That's unfortunate.
Like so bad.
Like Medean-esque.
And we had to run out. We hopped on a spaceship and went home.
Well, at least we got to go.
Yeah, I mean, we were hanging out in space, but it was...
There's always a plus side.
Yeah, it was crazy. But another weekend in the books. I gotta say, it was so weird. It snowed. Like, straight up snowed. Which was so uncool.
I didn't see any snow.
It snowed in New Jersey.
It was like, snowing here, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? I wish it snowed on Long Island because I told my parents it was going to snow this weekend, and then it didn't snow on Long Island. And my dad texted me and was like, hey, you need any help with that snow you were talking about? You need any shoveling? So I looked like an idiot. Yeah. But it did snow other places. So
yeah,
I wasn't entirely wrong.
Yeah, no. And I think it might have snowed some places on Long Island. It was very random. Like it was like sun snowing. I don't know. Yeah. Snow squall is what
I like that proper term for it. I live for the weekends, even though it's just like everything kind of
live for the freaking weekend.
I really do. I'm like, oh, it's the weekend. I get so pumped up, even though like we do the same thing. It's literally just a day. It's just another day. Exactly. But I think it's time to get into our topics, Francesca.
Yeah. We've done our dream talk. So let's go.
I mean, we don't have anything going on in the real world, so we have to
live in our fantasies.
Way more interesting. All right, let's get into the topics. We have the Stuck With You song and music video by Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber. We'll talk about Tekashi 6ix9ine having to move because his address got leaked and his world record breaking Instagram Live. There are suspicions that Taylor Swift and Katy Perry may be collaborating. Kim and Kanye are living on opposite sides of the house and they're at each other's throats in quarantine. And then we move on to our feel good segment to get over Kim and Kanye fighting.
Yeah.
And then we have our interview with JoJo. So let's get into it, starting off with the Stuck With You song and music video. So lock the door and throw up the key. Can't fight this no more. It's just you and me, and there's nothing I'd rather do. I'm stuck with you, stuck with you, stuck with you. Justin Bieber and Ariana Grande released their brand new song and music video called Stuck With You. It was adorable, and of course I cried when I watched
it. Did you give it a second go to get the whole thing done without, or did you just cry the whole time?
No, I had to pause it because we were about to record.
Yeah.
The group chat came on Friday and the tears were coming down my eyes and I was like, okay, I can't go on Zoom right now with tears coming down my eye. So then I went back and watched it after. It was adorable.
Really cute.
So many cute celebrity appearances. Obviously Hailey was in it a lot, but I will say
I love them together,
but there's also something about them like filming themselves that makes me feel awkward at the same time. Is that mean to say? I didn't want to say that, but
no.
I actually absolutely understand
what you're saying. Sometimes it feels like, and nowhere near doubting their love.
No,
but somehow
I think
it somehow feels like sometimes they're trying a little too hard to show everyone that they're in love.
Right, and I guess it's not even that, or maybe a little bit, but I guess it's more about just like, because all the celebrities were doing it, you know, putting the camera down, dancing and hugging each other. But there's just something, it's not even Hailey. There's just something about Justin Bieber.
Just Justin.
He's just trying a little bit too hard in the video. And you could tell.
That's fair. Look, there is a ton of really cute couples in there. I mean, they had Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis, Chance the Rapper, I think Steph and Ayesha Curry were in it.
Yes.
I mean, there was tons of really cute ones that like, and it was super hard to tell because it went really fast. And I kept like pausing and being like, who is that? Who is that? Demi Lovato was in it kissing her new boyfriend. And then she posted the clip on her Instagram just in case anybody, you know, was unsure if that was the two of them. So she gave a little confirmation on that. And it ended with Ariana dancing with her new boyfriend, Dalton Gomez.
Love his name, right? Yeah, that is his name. Confirmed.
And he was just kind of like, and we talked about the two of them before, but let me tell you, like he had a hood on, he's tall. Like it could have been a Pete Davidson stand-in. Like it's, They have similar looks for sure, but it was a very cute ending and a very cute song. I think the funniest part of this was Justin apparently reached out or got whoever had somebody reach out to get Carol Baskin and her husband in it.
Yeah.
And Ariana Grande wanted nothing to do with them. She not even the slightest.
Which is smart. Like, Ariana Grande was thinking ahead and actually had it planned out in her brain. Whereas Justin Bieber is just like, oh, Carol Baskin, like, let's put her in the music video. But Carol Baskin really may have killed her husband.
Right. So, I mean, either way, she is, it's terrifying. And not to bring this to Tiger King, but I saw pictures of the zoo, Joe Exotic's old zoo that's now, what's his face's zoo? What's his name? Jeff Lowe. Duh. How can I forget? Jeff Lowe's zoo. And it just reopened and it was packed, like horrifyingly packed. It gave me anxiety. Like, it just made me angry and I didn't like it. And it made me pissed because it's like, now the zoo is going to blow up all because of Tiger King. Anyway, it sent me down a spiral. Back to the video. She, and it was funny because she like publicly said that she had nothing to do with this. Cause Justin tweeted the clip of Carol and her husband. And Ariana said, for the record, I did not allow or approve this clip to be in the actual video, but nonetheless it exists. And that's ... unique. Anyway, 7.5 hours is like when they were counting down to the video coming out, and somebody replied like LMAO, and she said, I'm very glad someone is laughing, crying emoji, the fucking heart attacks I had over this.
So, I just a little
stress from Bieber.
I cannot imagine how mad Ariana Grande was at Scooter Braun and Justin Bieber, like messaging them, FaceTiming them, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Now, let's just play.
Probably not even Justin. That probably goes right to Scooter, and then Scooter has to deal with that shit.
Right. But let's play pretend for a second, act like we know these people, even though we don't. Yeah. My vision is that, like, Justin Bieber is like, oh my God, Carol Baskin, that would be so funny. And then Haley doesn't want to tell Justin Bieber that that's not a good idea. So she's just like, yeah, babe, go ahead. Yeah. And just so casually, like, yeah, babe, that would be funny. And then Justin Bieber does it, but he actually didn't think it through at all.
Yeah. And
it's way better because if they put that in the video, do you know how mad people would be?
Yes. And also, like,
but it's already out there. So I mean,
I know, but that also be the biggest story from it. Like, it'd be like Carol Baskin's and Justin Bieber and Ariana Grande's music video. Like, that would be all the headlines. It would definitely have taken away from Ariana debuting her new boyfriend. And like you said, he posted it anyway, which is why it's kind of funny. Like, did they fight over this for days and then agree to take it out of the video, and then Justin just tweeted the clip out for promo? Like, not, and Ariana had to say, like, this isn't actually in the video, but thanks, Justin. After we agreed to cut this, you freaking tweeted it anyway. So now makes her look like the asshole for cutting it out.
Listen, I can't imagine working with Justin Bieber is the easiest thing in the world, or Ariana Grande. I mean, they're both superstars. They have high standards.
Yeah, it's
as they should.
Couple of divas,
as they should be.
Pop stars.
My dream.
But besides that, I think the song is really, really cute. The two of them sound great together. I'm surprised it's really taken them this long to do a song together.
Yeah, I like the song better than, even Noah said it the other day, better than any one on Changes. So
yep, we'll just let that slide in there. Guess who's back again. Shady's back.
Fran, it is time for your favorite topic.
You know
so much about Tekashi 6ix9ine is at home now, but he had to move because somebody leaked his address, of course. And he also broke the worldwide record for most Instagram viewers. The last time we talked about this, it was Tory Lanez and Drake. And they had, I don't know, over 300,000 Instagram viewers. He had 2 million people watching.
Yeah, 2 million is insane.
Came out to Bad Boys with handcuffs around his eyes. Now listen, I understand. Hate Tekashi 6ix9ine. I hate Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to sit here and say that he is not entertaining, because he is. That was highly, highly entertaining. I mean, I don't think he's safe because of the rant he went on, but I definitely enjoyed watching it.
It gets to me because I'm just like, how can you be so dumb? But I don't know why I would ask that, because it's very possible. It's just, you know, my good old pal 6ix9ine, he's my favorite menace to society. And he just, I couldn't believe this, because not only is he like putting himself out there on Instagram Live, he's showing off the inside of his house and whatnot. Apparently he's been doing a lot of things outside. Like, he's been on his porch or his deck or whatever. And pretty easy to spot that guy. He's not exactly, doesn't exactly blend into a crowd well. So I guess a neighbor or somebody saw him on outside, because it's like literally the one place he's not supposed to be is outside, and took a picture of him or posted his address or the whole thing. Now they had to move him to a different location. I don't understand how you can be so aware of like how people are after you. Because in the Instagram Live, he's talking about snitching and how he, you know, obviously he snitched because all these people turned against him too. His manager is sleeping with his baby mama, the whole thing. It's an absolute disaster. And he's like, why would I not sweat snitch on these people? He was sleeping with them. I mean, the whole, it's so ridiculous. And it gets to the point where, like, you got to know if you're saying this to 2 million people, record-breaking Instagram Live, that somebody who potentially hates you and could do you harm is like watching and taking notes, like to see how to like break into your home.
Oh, I mean, he knows for sure that these people are watching his Instagram Live. I don't know why he just doesn't care. He doesn't. I think he's going
2 million people, I guess, is why he doesn't care, right? Yeah. Like,
I mean, people find him very entertaining. That's why there's 2 million people watching. Like you were saying, now listen, I don't know how many gang affiliates are listening to this show, so I'm going to tread carefully. But what he was saying about, he's like, you didn't care about me when you were fucking my baby mama. You didn't care about me when you kidnapped my mom. I was like, you know what? You're speaking facts right now. Listen, that sucks. I'm sorry that happened to you. You know,
being eye for an eye kind of guy, it seems like.
That's what happens when you're in a gang, though. It's gang shit. That's what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to try and pretend like I understand what goes on. So
yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure we don't know the extent of it at all.
Yeah.
That's just the surface, Fran. Baby mama fucking and kidnapping is just the surface.
Just scratching the surface.
Imagine if you dug a little deeper.
I don't want to know. But that was a huge thing this weekend. Like, 2 million people. 2 million people were watching that Instagram Live.
I was smiling from ear to ear. I won't lie. I just felt like a sense of like, oh my God, he's really doing this. This is insane. What is wrong?
I was not watching. I saw all the clips on social media afterwards. And when I just saw a screenshot with the 2M in the corner, I was just like, this is just the beginning. Because if now he knows that he's like, that's all he needed. All he needed was like one moment to prove to himself that he is still so relevant to people that like that it's just going to make his ego explode.
Yeah. He said he's going to come back on Instagram Live.
Of course he is.
I'm thrilled about.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I like Tekashi 6ix9ine, but I am saying.
Right. He just like really, he just really can't be doing shit like hanging out on his porch when he has neighbors who are close enough to spot him.
Yeah, not smart. He's not that smart. Not bright. We see.
Yeah, it's gonna happen everywhere he goes. Like you said, he's very easy to spot. He's just a walking rainbow. So like, how can you not notice that man? Like, even also, if he's
just like, even when this ends for him, like, nothing's ever going to be the same because this gang is sounds so bad when we're talking about gangs because we don't know anything about it. So it's like,
no,
this
no,
gang. No. No, but I'm saying, like, you know, the members are still running around. So
his name's still on the top of the list, I'm sure.
Number one priority.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Fans have been freaking out because it seems like maybe, don't want to say for sure, but maybe there could be a Katy Perry-Taylor Swift collaboration down the line. Katy Perry posted the cover art of her new single, Daisies. You know, she's in a daze. She's surrounded by daisies. And then just a mere, I think the number, people have calculated the numbers because, you know, the numbers always mean something. But soon after, Taylor Swift posted a Instagram picture of her. You know, she's sitting on a couch. She's got her wine. Big isolation was her caption. And she was wearing a daisies sweater. That was all Taylor Swift fans needed to think that maybe there could be some connection here, that they got something in the works. Maybe Taylor wrote a song for Katy. Maybe Taylor is going to be featured on a song. But it's the sleuthing is top notch. And we talk about this every time, Rhea. Like, we see these theories and it's like, oh, I don't know. And then I read through a few tweets and I'm sold. I'm sold right away. I'm like, makes total sense.
Right. And knowing the feud that Katy Perry and Taylor Swift have, Taylor Swift is on top
had.
Of that shit. Oh, had.
I feel Sorry, like I they I feel like we can officially say that that's been over.
Yes. But knowing that, I think that Taylor Swift would be aware that Katy Perry just put out that picture with the daisies or sunflowers. What is it again?
Daisies.
Daisies, yes. Put the picture out with the daisies. Taylor Swift would never post a picture in a sweater wearing daisies on Instagram because she is supposed to be better than everybody. So she would not just follow Katy Perry's footsteps. But if they're working together, then that makes sense.
It definitely does. And then, so I was kind of on the fence, and then now, and then I saw a few more tweets and I was like, now people say that the S's in daisies on Katy Perry's cover art kind of look like snakes. And then, I mean, it's also just, I mean, the letter S looks like a snake no matter what. So
That is literally the shape of a snake.
That one was a little bit of a stretch for me. You could say any S looks like a snake. But American Idol retweeted Katy Perry's tweet of saying the first single from KP5 is called Daisy. She's coming May 15th. And American Idol retweeted this and said, "We can't wait to play this like 1,989 times in a row." 1989? You just pick 1,989 as the number of times you're going to replay the song. That one was it for me. Now I'm in.
They just gave it away. They just gave the entire thing away.
They made it too obvious.
They made it way too obvious.
American Idol.
We like a little chase, American Idol. We don't like you to just give us the answer. You just gave the answer. Which, I mean, I'm happy about. I'm excited to hear what a Taylor Swift and Katy Perry collaboration would sound like. I mean, listen, as much as, you know, some of us have hated on Katy Perry in the past.
Yeah.
She also has some great songs out there. And so does Taylor Swift. So I think that this song could either be great or it's going to be another, what was the first single that Taylor Swift released that,
Me?
Yeah. I hated that song. So it could, it could go in that route where it's like cheesy and whatever, or it could just be an absolute jam, which I'm rooting for.
I'm with you because I will say like the last, and we have both said like Katy Perry's early stuff, so good. Like the, her, those songs are iconic. They'll live on forever. But her last album, I really did not like. I feel like the sound kind of, she went in a different direction that I that wasn't really a fan of, but Not Really Over. No, not really. Never Really Over. I loved, I thought it was great. And I feel like she's in a great place in her life. She's happy. This Daisies cover, like, just looks super happy. And I feel like a happy album, fantastic. Like, give us some bops, give us some songs you can dance to. And hopefully one of those is a Taylor Swift collaboration. I don't know. I the American Idol tweet really locked it in for me.
It's a done deal, I have to say. Yeah. And the emojis that Taylor Swift used, the snake and the S. Listen, yes, S is a snake.
Right
now, at the tweet, I'm convinced because these people are good at doing that because they write in capital letters and they make you believe whatever they're writing is true. So you know what? You sold me.
I know. Well, and the screenshot for the American Idol, whoever screenshotted the American Idol tweet, like literally all caps, 1989 times in a row, Taylor posted with daisies on her shirt. Katy Perry's lead single features Taylor Swift. This is going to be a moment in pop culture. Literally just all caps. I'm like, you're so right, sir. This is, this has got to be real. So I'm officially in on the Taylor Swift Katy Perry collaboration. I'm going to be disappointed if this is not real.
I'm not loving you way I wanted to. What I had to do, had to run from you. I'm in love with you, but the vibe is wrong, and it haunted me all the way home. So you never know, never, never know, never know enough till it's over, love, till we lose control. Sifting over, screaming no, 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 no.
Sources are reporting that Kim and Kanye are living on separate sides of the house in quarantine, and apparently they're at each other's throats. Listen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not
I don't
good.
Know.
Not good.
Not good, but could be possible.
This is a tough one because it's so easy to just write this off as like fake drama or whatever. That's that because nothing's really going on with them right now, that right. No matter what, like their names have to be in a headline somewhere. So it's just like, oh, Kim and Kanye, they're fighting. But it is also believable. I could very much see something like this happening, but it's tough. You know, it all kind of did start from tabloid rumors. So you never know. I think it was like the Sun who had first reported it, but the house is big enough. They've just, you know, Kim is apparently fed up with Kanye not wanting to help with the parenting, and she's always on the move. So having to be in, you know, having to be in her house and not be able to go anywhere has gotten to her too. And I mean, I get, that's why it's also easy to understand, because when you have a family, four kids, you know, they have their dynamic already locked in. Like, they got their parenting situation locked in. Kim does this, Kanye does that. They figure out work. They have all their help. They have, it's like a well-oiled machine. And then all that stops because they can't do any of those things anymore. And everything just explodes.
Right. And I also think that the fact that they are this rich and can have a house that you can live on separate sides of the house and not see each other will actually help them in the end. And maybe this won't end up in a Kim and Kanye divorce, because I think that's the best case scenario. You get some time apart from each other. Although it's like, what are they splitting up the days of where the kids spend time in the house? Like, okay, Monday through Wednesday, you spend time on the East Wing. And then Wednesday through Friday, you spend time on the West Wing. It's like, it's a little confusing, but I'm sure they have people at home helping them. I'm sure of it. I don't think that it's just Kim and Kanye in the house with their kids. So hopefully they figure it out. It's so weird because when you hear things like, oh, Kanye doesn't want to be involved with the kids, but then I feel like during the show and other videos we have seen, we've seen Kim Kardashian talk about how great of a dad Kanye is and how involved he is and as a dad. So it's two conflicting reports and could just possibly be that, you know, there's not a lot of drama going on right now in the Kardashian world. So they're just spitting something out there that could very likely be possible, but won't end in a destruction.
Right. And Kim did post a picture on her Instagram recently, like of Kanye sitting on the couch with, I think it was North in Chicago. So it could be totally far-fetched and just all bullshit, but you never know. And these kids, they must be quite a time in that house. It was just Sam's birthday. I love
Happy birthday, Sam.
I love when, like, it's one of the kids' birthdays. Everybody posts. Like, it must be, like, if you're the one who forgets to post, you're just, everybody must just freak out. You got to be the asshole. Everybody posts a slideshow, at least, of birthday pictures for whoever's birthday it is, kid, aunt, whatever.
I'm sure they get upset if you don't post. I feel like that's the type of family it is, where Chris sends out a little reminder, and if you're not going to post for a kid's birthday, then you're not showing up to the party. You're not invited. Right.
Just sent like a Dropbox of approved photos of Sam to be shared with the world. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
For our feel-good segment this week, we have two stories. First of all, I'd like to say, we talked about National Nurses Day last week. We've gotten tagged in a bunch of stories. We've gotten a bunch of messages. We've seen them all. It's so cool and so nice to see you guys sharing your stories with us, especially listening and hearing that listening to the show is a great downtime or distraction for you guys. It's really so awesome because these stories you hear are so insane, and I so much credit to all these nurses. The first thing I want to talk about, and we haven't even mentioned this on the show, the All-In Challenge. We've seen all the celebrities are joining in. It's a thing started by Fanatics, and all these celebrities are offering you really these insane prizes and whatever things you can do to win. And I mean, you can be in a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. You can, tons of crazy, crazy things.
Chris Evans joined Instagram because of it.
Yeah, I did see that. I mean, that's just a gift
in
from the powers above, like, to give us that. And then this week, the Jonas Brothers accepted the All-In Challenge. So now you can enter to win. They're going to fly to the winner's hometown for a day. And they're going to do a day of giving back at a charity that is picked by the winner, and then have a barbecue with the winner's friends and family at their home or what designated location. Kevin will be grilling. Joe will be DJing. Nick will be brooding in the corner. I don't know. Like,
Nick will be socializing.
There was no assignment for Nick, so maybe it's up in the air. But It's just a cool thing. Obviously, so many celebrities have been jumping in on the All In Challenge, but it was nice to see the Jonas Brothers do it.
Unbelievable. Honestly, getting the Jonas
Brothers. They have the Jonas Brothers in my backyard.
In your backyard, and you can invite your friends.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, I'm not going to say it. It's a good thing, and I'm happy for anybody who wins that.
Exactly. And it's for a good cause. The All In Challenge donates 100% of the funds to Meals on Wheels, No Kid Hungry, and Leonardo DiCaprio and Lauren Powell's Jobs, America's Food Fund, which directly benefits Feeding America and World Central Kitchen. So, and since it started, this campaign has raised more than $32 million, which is crazy. Like you said, I mean, so many. The Drake Prize, the Ariana Grande, everything is so crazy. And honestly, I don't know why you wouldn't enter every single one. And then the Jonas Brothers nominated David Dobrik and Lewis Hamilton and Lewis Capaldi. So very interesting, Rhea, if David Dobrik was to create a prize where, like, you get to, I don't know, be the star of one of his vlogs, would you enter?
No, because I don't know. I just feel like that's like I would rather somebody else who doesn't do what we do get the chance to do that. Because, like, what if along the line we work hard enough and then, you know, somehow become close with David Dobrik and then all of a sudden we're magically in his vlog. You know, I'm just manifesting that, putting that out there. Whereas other people just legitimately have no chance of ever interacting with David Dobrik. So I would rather somebody else get that.
That's very selfless of you.
Thank you.
The second thing is the ladies of Red Table Talk. So, you know, Jada Pinkett Smith, her mother, Willow Smith, they did a special Mother's Day episode honoring nurses on the front line. And I know this is our feel good segment, but like, if you want to cry like sad tears and then happy tears, like all at once, you should go watch this one. I was watching it before we started to record and legit was crying. So honestly, thankful that Rhea needed that extra time to shower off her terrifying dream because
of you punching and abusing me and being a slob job drunk.
Because I was crying watching this video. So the episode, it started and it was this nurse from LA, April Buencamino, and she is a mom of two. She's a nurse manager working in a COVID-19 unit at her hospital. And she went on to talk and she talked about how Sandra Bullock had donated masks to her hospital. She had donated 6,000 masks. And she was like, oh, I just missed her. I didn't get to meet her. You know, she was there. I didn't see her. And so obviously Jada had gotten Sandra to come onto the call to speak with April. And it's just absolute tear inducing. Like, Sandra Bullock just thanked her so much, was so appreciative of everything that she was doing. And then April told a story of how her hardest day was, there's a mother dying and her teenage daughter wanted to say goodbye to her. And obviously these hospitals, it's so hard because you can't be in the same room. And so April had organized a way for them to communicate, to have their last words by her standing at a window by the room. And then one nurse holding a cell phone to the mother and April holding her cell phone for the teenage daughter so that they could talk in that, you know, for their literal last moment. So if that doesn't make you absolutely sob, I was at a mess. And not only was I crying, Sandra Bullock was crying. So you're watching Sandra Bullock cry. You're automatically going to start to cry. But
I'm
going to
start crying right now.
I know. And like I said, there's sad tears and happy tears because she was able to speak with Sandra. Sandra was so, so kind. And then obviously as the segment was wrapping up, Jada had surprised her with a $50,000 donation to her hospital, as well as a family vacation, because she was saying that her husband was supposed to take her away and they obviously had to cancel that. So between that and the vacation is really amazing. And Sandra Bullock's daughter, Layla, actually popped into the video, and Sandra really, we don't really see anything of her kids at all. So it meant a lot that she allowed her to be in this situation. And Layla was so cute. She just was like, thank you so much for everything. It was so sweet. She thanked April. She said, stay safe, you and your family. And she's so cute. She's like missing her two front teeth. So she's like really, really so cute. It's like I said, it is sad and happy at the same time. You can go watch that video, but it was really, Sandra Bullock is one of those. She's one of those ones, you know?
Yeah. Somebody that I would like my mom to be friends with.
Yeah. This is a complete turn, but my dad swears that he bumped into Sandra Bullock in Italy, and we have no proof. Like,
when you were there with him?
Yes. Yes. We were, this was years ago, and we were in Venice, and he had gone to the, he had walked alone, he said, to go to an ATM. And he says that he went to the ATM, he took out money, and when he turned around, Sandra Bullock was walking out of a door right by, and that he just went, and that she looked at him and smiled and then walked away. And he...
Are you sure he wasn't just high?
Oh, he is adamant that it was Sandra Bullock, and he came back and was like, it was Sandra Bullock. I swear, I froze. She's so beautiful, Sandra Bullock. And like, I immediately was Googling like Sandra Bullock Venice. Maybe somebody took photos of her or so. There was nothing. Like, there was no evidence that Sandra Bullock was in Venice. But if there was somebody,
there would be evidence that Sandra Bullock was in Venice?
No, I was going to, like, if there's anybody who could get away with being in Venice and going unnoticed, it's Sandra Bullock. But we were like, Dad, I don't really know if that was Sandra Bullock.
It could just be an Italian person looking like Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, he swears it was Sandra
Dark
Bullock.
Dark hair.
So, yeah, yeah. It's very possible, but there's my Sandra word. Bullock story.
I'm going to take it.
It may be Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock. Wait, now that we're on this topic, sorry. Sandra Bullock's ex-husband, right?
Yeah.
His name is Jesse James.
Yeah, isn't he the one that was married to Kat Von D?
I'm just wanted to point out how many Jesse Jameses there are in the world.
Yeah. It's very popular. Very popular name. It's just people pair it together. It sounds nice. Jesse,
like,
James.
Jesse James Decker.
Uh-huh.
Jesse James, Sandra Bullock's ex-husband. Isn't there a porn star, Jesse James?
You'd probably.
Probably.
I would think so. I would think so, but no, there is a lot. You are right. There is a lot.
We are here with a very special guest, the one, the only, JoJo. Yes, that JoJo. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks.
We are super excited to have you here. Rhea and I have been fans of you since we were little. It's really crazy to see this journey for you. We're so excited to talk to you about it. We're so excited to talk to you about this new album. When this interview airs, the album will be out. People will be able to listen to it. It is called Good to Know, which is interesting. I want you to explain kind of like the meaning behind this new album name.
I got you. It was something that I found myself saying a lot during the making of the album. I was just like, good to know. I don't know. It's just, but I learned a lot about myself during the making of this, that I'm stronger than I thought I was. And also, like, through the practice of journaling every day and meditating and all that stuff, I just like kind of peeled back some layers that I had up, some guards that I had up, and started asking myself, like, what's up with these patterns you have? Or like, why do you cope in this way? Or like, why do you stay in these toxic relationships too long? Why are you toxic sometimes? You know what I mean? I learned a lot. And it's all good to know. It's just information. It's neither positive or negative, meaning like all these things that you discover, it just is what it is, but it's all good.
Would you say that meditating and journaling helped you write some of these songs? Do you think you took some of what you wrote down and put it into the album?
Yeah, I literally did. Sometimes I would bring my journal to the studio and then I would like highlight stuff while I was there, because sometimes I end up rhyming in my journal and sometimes I catch myself doing it. I'm like, haha, I'm a clever bitch. But oftentimes I don't do that, and it's just stream of consciousness and it's very self-deprecating, or it's very not exciting at all or interesting. But yeah, some of it did come from, you know, from a real just like journaling type of vibe, some of these songs.
How would you kind of describe the sound on this new album? Because it's different than past, you know, records we've heard from you. And I think it's a very cool sound, but I would love to hear how you would kind of like describe this album.
I came into it knowing that I wanted the beats to be super hard. I wanted my guy friends to be able to play it and not feel embarrassed to be bumping JoJo. Like, I wanted the beats to be hard, you know what I mean? To that level. So, but there's a thread of sensuality through it. This is probably the sexiest project I've ever done. And the foundation, I would say, is R&B. There's a lot of different inspiration there, because I don't just listen to one genre of music, and I don't even really like thinking about music in terms of genre, but I know that it's helpful / important sometimes to be able to describe it in those terms. So yeah, R&B was the foundation, and sensual meaning like, we, not only is it mad sexy and just kind of makes you feel, or you know, it's quite visual as well. I'm rambling, but yeah, that's the vibe.
No, I think you described it well. We got to listen to a couple songs, and it does make you kind of just want to like move very slow. Like, yeah, it is a vibe. That's a good way to describe it, Rhea.
That's how I would sum it up. How long have you been working on this album? Because we saw that you obviously went through like an extremely long legal battle, and then you made your own label, and then you put out another album, but you said that this one is just so different than anything you've done in the past.
Well, I just feel like I'm in a different place. So therefore the music will reflect that in a natural way. I started working on this about a year and a half ago when I rented an Airbnb and like got some of my favorite collaborators together, and we just started writing, and like we set up studio, like makeshift studios in two different bedrooms, and like it just allowed us to have the space outside of a traditional studio to kind of like start exploring. And I wrote and recorded a bunch of songs, and then sometimes needed to write about the same thing several times to feel like I had said it in the right way that I wanted to. Because this album was a lot about like processing two relationships that have probably been the most influential on my life. These on again, off again relationships that I like took part in for a few years, and yeah, just processing and honing in on it with some creatives that I felt really comfortable with: Lido, Doc McKinney, Noise Club, 30 Rock, and then some of my favorite co-writers like Lauren LaRue, Nat Dunn. It's more cohesive than any body of work I've put out before, which I love.
How are you handling kind of putting out new music and new stuff right now? Obviously during this time you are at home, and you just dropped a new video for Lonely Hearts, and that, did you shoot that during this time? Like, was that, or was that done before?
No, I shot that during this time. And it was actually the first time that I had been to anyone else's house. I didn't even go inside. This is one of my best friends. We've been friends since I was 15, you know, so that's over 10 years. And we shot out, she has like a front yard and she set up like a white backdrop. She wore a mask. It was my director friend, Zelda. And yeah, we like turned everything around in a few days and we used the natural sunlight and it was really kind of therapeutic to be creative during this time because every day is different. First of all, every day is different in quarantine. I don't know if you've been experiencing that, but like, I cried last night. I haven't cried for the first time. Like I haven't cried during this experience because I'm like, I'm so blessed. I have everything I need. You know, my family's well, my friends for the most part are doing well. And like, I feel like I am really rich in spirit and in like things that I need. So I haven't felt bad for myself. I haven't felt any of those things. But last night I've just like, I felt a lot and it's so every day is different and just allow it to continue to be different. But like, it's, who'd have thought that I'd be like on a promo tour from sitting at my piano at home, you know, it's
just right.
It's different, but you got to stay flexible. You got to be like water and go with the flow.
Wow. That hit hard. Be like water and go with the flow. Yeah. Should we put that on some t-shirts?
Honestly, that's like my favorite. I think about that every day. Like be like water because water can also change shape, but it's always water. It'll take different forms. It can be ice. It can be vapor, it can be steam, you know what I'm saying? But it's still water and it's just gonna,
I'm not gonna lie, that hit me hard. I'm gonna follow that now. Yeah. Every time I'm like, this feels weird, and I'm be like, I'm just water. I'm just going with the flow.
It's a goal.
Well, you mentioned how this is so different, this press tour, because you're doing it obviously from your home, but how many interviews have you been doing? Is it the same amount you think, or is it more? Is it less?
I don't know if it's more or less. It feels like a lot, but it feels like, which is obviously a blessing. I would be bummed if like I wasn't talking to people. It's just different because I realize how much I like to move and shake, how much I really do like to like, first of all, I love to travel and I'm a people person. I really enjoy energies and I'm realizing that like, as cool as it is to connect with you via this, you know, technology way that we're doing it, I guess it would be, is it metaphysical? Like when you feel someone's energy, I miss that.
Yeah.
Like, right. I agree with you. We've been saying that with our interviews, like just in general, when we interview people in person, like we've created friendships through that. And now we're like, it's kind of harder to do so over Zoom, like you said.
It's, like you said, it's the energy. It's energy.
Yeah, and I know I sound like a weird LA hippie now, and like I'm saying I'm from Boston, but like, I don't know. Energy's a real thing. It can't be denied.
It's
true. So it's different, but I'm just going with it.
Yeah, like you said, go with the flow. Rhea and I have, like I said before, have followed your career for forever. We've been fans for forever. I think for all those maybe who don't realize how young you were when you kind of got into this industry, can you just kind of tell that story a little bit, like how you even got into music in the first place?
Oh my God. I don't even remember getting into music because I feel like I was born and then was just already in music. I started like doing TV shows and stuff. My mom and I would take the train from Boston to New York City. And I mean, like I did my first TV show at like 6 years old and then like talent things. And anyway, long story short, been doing this a long time. Signed my first record deal at 12 years old, recorded my first album at 12, put out the first single at 13, which is crazy, but made me the youngest artist ever to have a number one single with my first song, Leave Get Out. And so the first song came out, then the album came out, got the opportunity to tour the world. Second album came out. The first single on that was Too Little Too Late. Then I had another huge hit from that second album. And then, you know, did a few movies and then got into like this really long, confusing, frustrating legal situation with my record label that I had to end up fighting to get out of. I didn't own my voice and I wasn't able to put out any music. So spent a few years just fighting just to be able to continue on with my career.
That is, honestly, I got chills listening to you talk about, you know, being 13 and being the youngest person ever to have like a number one hit single like that. And just to see, I mean, you're still so young now, and it feels like you have lived like 10 different lives during this time. But you talked about how, you know, this long legal battle, and I feel like it's confusing for people to try to understand because they don't really understand what goes into contracts. I mean, we see it with Taylor Swift and Scooter Braun, like everything that she's fighting now. Can you give us a little more insight as to like what exactly you were trying to fight against?
Well, every situation is different. So Taylor's situation is unique to her and not really, I'll speak to what I was going through. I signed to a small label that was distributed through a major label. I was signed to a production company through this small label that was distributed through the major label, and everything was great. And I was looking forward to like going through my whole career with them. To be honest with you, these were like my father figures and like we were a family. But unfortunately, things happened to where they weren't able to fulfill promises that they made, or not even just promises, but contractual things. Like they lost their distribution. They made business decisions that affected me negatively. They essentially became not a functioning record label, but wouldn't let me go. So I couldn't, and contractually they owned my voice. So therefore I couldn't sing on a soundtrack. I couldn't release any music or make any decisions with my voice in a recorded way. Without their approval. And if they wouldn't give their approval, then I can't do anything. So I had very limited options. You know, I was being told like, maybe you should just go to college and like pursue something else, because if you're not dealing with, sometimes you're dealing with people who are reasonable and sometimes you're not. So yeah, that's it. And unfortunately, I had to take it to a legal place and then just fight to simply be able to continue on my career. So I know that's still confusing. It is a confusing situation. It wasn't like I could just, people think about like Prince and how he changed his name to an unpronounceable symbol and then was able to release music. That wasn't an option in my contract. They owned my voice, which means that I couldn't just change my name. So it just wasn't as simple. People think, well, oh, why can't you just change your name? Or, oh, why don't you just do this? You don't think I thought about all that? I tried to do everything possible. And, so I hope that situations like mine and with, you know, all the eyeballs on Taylor Swift, and even with what Kesha went through and Meg Thee Stallion, with us talking more about contracts and ownership and things like that, and just having the freedom to continue and make moves in your career. It wasn't even that I was like, I need to be 100% in control. It's like, I just want to work. Let me go and continue on. But I think that these conversations are good, and then people can go and do more research and learn more and empower themselves, because knowledge is a very, very empowering thing.
I think it's fascinating. Like you said, it is very powerful to hear it coming from you, because these are just things that I feel like aren't discussed as much with artists and these record labels, and sometimes the control that people have, and you don't realize. You just think that these artists can do whatever,
and it's so
sometimes
not
that's not the case.
And also I think that there's this misconception, especially like in 2020, where I see people in comments being like, all artists should just own their masters outright, blah blah blah. Okay, yes, in theory we absolutely should, but when you have no leverage to give a record label that's going to put up millions of dollars for you, what are you going to offer other than your intellectual property? Like, what could you, it's just, I come from a very humble background. What was I going to offer? I don't have daddy's money to throw around and be like,
yeah,
you know what? I'm going to make sure that I'm protected in this way. I don't know lawyers. Like when I was 12 years old, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just, it's people always have these ideas of what you could have, would have, should have done. Nobody knows what they would have done when you come from nothing and you don't have any, you just don't know. You know?
Exactly. And when you're not in the industry, you don't know how the contracts are worded whatsoever. Yeah. Like nobody has any idea. So, I mean, props to you for talking about it. And we are so excited that you are coming out with this new album and you've pushed through it. I mean,
thank you.
I saw the other day somebody tweeted about Aquamarine and you brought up the fact you were like, well, I literally just couldn't because they owned my voice, which it all makes sense now. But bringing up Aquamarine, we have to talk about it because I know it might annoy you. I don't know, but it is truly one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh,
I've seen it over 100 times.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I honestly swear.
Jojo, we could probably quote that entire movie, like Rhea and I start to finish, like without anything.
Deadass, I have never seen it since I went to the premiere.
Wow.
I know.
Well, I'm not
going to
tell you that you should 100% watch it because I don't know your feelings on it, but like I watched it recently and I'm not lying.
I mean, I had so much fun making it. All of us girls, we really did have a great time. Like we were in Australia. It was so much fun, but it's also like, I don't know. It's like, it was already a younger movie than even I would have watched. I thought I was grown. When I was 14, 15, I already thought I was grown. So I was like, I don't want this kiddie shit.
I mean, I feel like that was even your mood in the movie. Like, you just seemed grown up in that movie. And Fran and I were talking about it earlier. Yes. We were like, when we were younger and Jojo was 13 and I don't know, Fran, you were like 10.
I might have been like seven. I'm 25. Like I'm not that much younger than you are.
And I thought that you were like 25 years old when
Oh my God.
Not really, but like when you just don't realize when you're that young, like the age.
Totally.
When you're that young, everybody feels so much older.
Exactly.
When you see it.
I know.
Yeah. But so it was crazy going back and thinking about those things and those times, but it really was a movie that we loved. Do you think, I mean, you have done some projects in the recent years, but would you love to get back into acting or are you kind of sticking with music?
Music is my ultimate passion.
Yeah.
I'm like obsessed with music and I have friends who are really, really great actors and take it very seriously. And I never took it that seriously. So I think because I was so laser focused on being able to continue forward as a music artist, I let it kind of fall to the wayside. And I've had some things come up, but I'm not in a rush to do something that doesn't feel right. I'm very like, things have to feel right for me to feel compelled to do them. So I have auditioned for some things and they haven't worked out, but it's been projects I'm really passionate about. So until then, I probably won't like do something if it ever feels right.
Right. That's good.
Right. And I mean, right now it's like music's the thing. You can't film anything anyway. So
yeah. I know I'm right here in my living room. So
yeah. Well, you went basically viral for your quarantine kind of Get Out remix that was so good, making sure everybody knew to stay in. We sang our own, not even, but kind of. We do a show on Snapchat called The Group Chat, and we had discussed it as one of our topics one day. And the rest of the day, like, we were like, stay in. We just were singing the whole thing all day.
I'm just
one of the catchiest things.
I'm glad I brought people joy because I was just bored in the house bored and
yeah.
You know, playing around with my own song. So I'm glad.
Yeah.
Well, Jojo, thank you so much for joining us. By the time this interview is out, your album, Good to Know, will be out as well. So everybody go stream that, go listen. We are super excited. We're ready for some more hits. Do you think that you'll make any more quarantine songs, fake songs?
Probably. I have a lot of time on my hands.
Good. That's the answer we wanted to hear. Jojo, thank you so much for talking with us. We really enjoyed it. And like Rhea said, everyone go listen to Good to Know, out now.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day, y'all.
You too.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Thanks.
Well, that wraps up today's show. We thank you guys for listening. We thank all of the essential workers out there who keep going to work while we stay at home. And we'll talk to you guys on Thursday.